The reading tonight is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 31. Can be found on page 1153 of the Bibles. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Can you hear me? Well, you can definitely hear me. Right. Thank you, Saskia. Evening, everyone. Nice to see you all here. Let's begin by praying. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to meet here tonight in your name. Thank you for your presence here with us. I pray that you would inspire my words, that your message would be heard, and that we would be encouraged and challenged in our walk with you. Amen. So as Helen said at the beginning, we're partway through a sermon series on the creeds, looking at what we profess to believe as Christians when we use this liturgy that we said earlier. And why does that matter for us today? Over previous weeks, we've looked at God the Father, Jesus the Son, and last week Esther helped us to look at the Holy Spirit. And tonight, it's my turn. We're looking at the one holy church. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. And the Nicene Creed, the other one that we've been talking about a bit, says, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So that's what we're thinking about tonight. I might just add, it's complete coincidence that actually tonight we're here in the centre rather than in the church building. But just that, I think that just emphasises for us that church doesn't refer to the buildings here in this context. So don't think that just because we're sat in here, what I'm talking about doesn't matter, because it still applies. We're church everywhere. We're church as people. So, first of all, I want to say to you, well done. Well done for being here tonight. Well done for making it out the door amongst all the probable busyness of life. Well done for getting to church tonight. But I've got a question. Why are you here? Why are you sat in this building right now? Why did you decide to come here on this lovely warm Sunday evening? It wasn't lovely warm Sunday evening when I wrote that, but it is now. Was it because the yummy coffee and cake that we had before the service? Hope you enjoyed that. Was it because you wanted to see your mates? Is it a case of anything to get me out the house right now? Are you avoiding your homework? People at the back, are you avoiding your homework? Yes, some awkward looks. Are you avoiding the awkward bath and bedtime with the kids, perhaps? Left that with the husband or the wife? Did your other half drag you here? Is it because you're on a rota to serve the coffee or something else, so you have to be here even though you really don't feel like it? Is it just because it's Sunday and that's what you do on a Sunday? Just have a think about that for a moment. Why are you here? The idea of the church has been around for about, 2,000 odd years. So it's quite a big deal, really. It's not like we've just made it up recently. We often refer to Pentecost as the birth of the church. We can read about the early church in the book of Acts. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means a gathering of people at the call of a herald. So the first Christians saw themselves as people who were responding to a call. I almost like to think of a man on a hill getting his little bugle out and tooting his little trumpet tune, and all the congregation members come gathering, they're responding to that call. I guess it's a little bit like how we have the bells ring out and you can hear it all round Reigate. People are gathering for church as the bells are ringing. In the New Testament, church never means either a building or a denomination, because neither existed when it was written. But why do we come to church? Why do we have to come to church? Isn't saying that we believe in God enough? Isn't the first half of the creed that we've said, that I believe in God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, isn't that enough? I don't know about you, but I've got a number of friends who say they're Christians, they say they love God, but they don't do church. Oh yeah, I love God, I'm a Christian, I call myself a Christian, but I don't do church, none of that, thanks. So now I've got another question for you. What do you think is good about coming to church? What do you get from coming to church? Just have a think about that for a moment. I found an article online as I was thinking about this talk, which was entitled 99 Reasons You Should Go to Church This Weekend. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to list them all to you. There was a lot. I won't read that all, but there was some good stuff in there. A number of things about the church helping us to grow in faith and on our spiritual journey, helping us to get to know more of Jesus. And a number of things about being encouraged by other people, the people that we might meet here or the people that we might meet because we say that we go to church. One of the things that we often talk about as a positive from church is the sense of community. We might find other like-minded people here. You might not, but Jared McKenna spoke in church last Sunday morning, just for a brief moment, and he said, would you really be surrounded by the people here if you weren't in church? Do you have anything in common with them apart from church? So you might find lots of like-minded people, or you might not, but it's good for us to be in church, or home groups, or whatever type of setting your church might look like. I once worked in a pub where a group of 20-somethings hired the upstairs room on Sunday nights, and they met together as church. I've got to say, it was a bit bizarre, but great, pouring pints whilst hearing them sing worship songs to God upstairs. People getting drunk downstairs, people praising Jesus upstairs. It was bizarre, but how fantastic that people felt free to meet in that place. I guess the point is that trying to do anything when we're isolated all the time isn't really much fun. We talk sometimes about church being the place where we can take off our masks, and where we have community, real friends. Do you have people that you can support here? Friends who will listen, walk alongside you on your journey, encourage you? I love my home group. I was in my home group before I even started my job as a church. Literally, I walked into church on a Sunday morning, and by the end of the first service, I was in a home group. But I would really, really encourage you to chat to Helen about being in one if you're not in one. They're so good for helping us to help each other. They're a real way of doing church in our homes, meeting with our church during the week, doing life together and growing in faith, going deeper in our relationship with God. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." We can do church even with just a small few of us. I don't know if you've ever read Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. It's a bit of a tough read. Definitely worth it, though. It talks in it about inward, outward, and corporate disciplines and worship. So I guess this is church, and we're coming together to worship. Worship being one of the corporate disciplines. On talking about the importance of corporate worship, like going to church or meeting with other Christians, it says this. Isaac Pennington says that when people are gathered for genuine worship, they are like a heap of fresh and burning coals, warming one another as a great strength and freshness and vigour of life flows into all. And then Foster goes on to say, one log by itself cannot burn for very long. But when many logs are put together, even if they are poor logs, they can make quite a fire. He says, remember the counsel of Proverbs 27, verse 17, that iron shapes iron, and even rather dull lives can help each other if they are willing to try. It's a real encouragement there. So Foster goes on to say, go, even if you don't feel like it. Go, even if worship has been discouraging and dry before. Go praying, go expecting, go looking for God to do a new and living work among you. So, well done, and thank you to you all for being here tonight. Hopefully, in being gathered here tonight together, we can be encouraged and grow together too. We need each other. That's not weak. God models community for us. He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship with himself. Jesus had friends and family. He grew up in community like we might do, just like everyone else. He worked with others too, his disciples. They did ministry as a team together. So if God needs community, how much more do we need community? How much more do we need each other? Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching." Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, "Hi, glad you're here." Something encouraging. Go on, just do that for a minute. Good. I hope you all feel encouraged just from that 10 seconds there. But it's more than just to give us this warm, fuzzy, loved feeling inside. It's great to meet with other people, but there's more to it than that. Remember that definition of church, the ecclesia at the beginning? Members of the church responding to a call. We've been given a call. We've been set a task. Jesus in Matthew 28 gives us the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I think we might find this a bit difficult if we're on our own, if we're not doing church. I mean, well done if you're the person that can go and knock on your neighbour's door on your own and talk to them. But isn't it easier if there's a group of us together? Don't you feel supported? We need each other. Both for our own support, but also to help us do God's work. To coin the Scottish, we're better together. I just wonder, who have you not seen in church for a while? Why don't you call them up and see how they're doing? Why don't you encourage them? Stick a note through their door. Let's be a church who love and look after each other. A community who cares for one another and for our neighbours. We need each other and we're better together. But let's not forget the bigger picture here. Let's go back to that line in the Creed, one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. What does that mean? the one. There is one church united in Christ. It's great to hear from the Madanats earlier this evening. Last week we heard from the Walker family going off to serve in Uganda this summer and chat to Jenny Rayner about St Mary's Global. It's such a great reminder that the Christ we believe in here is the same Christ that unites us with Christians all over the world. Ancient Christians didn't believe in an invisible church spread out amongst different denominations. Rather, the visible church was one in faith. Yes, there were always disagreements and different priorities. You only have to read Paul's letters to the churches in the New Testament to see that. But we mustn't forget that there is only one God who we are all worshipping and serving. And together, we make up Christ's one church. Philosopher Francis Bacon said, "Nothing doth so much keep men out of the church and drive men out of the church as breach of unity." Nothing doth so much keep men out of the church and drive men out of the church as breach of unity. Doesn't that make you a bit sad? That our disunity, our little disagreements could be driving people away. If we believe in one church, we need to encourage each other to find ways of living alongside those that we disagree with at times. And the church is holy, not because of us and the holy things that we might do. I mean, do you feel holy? Do you feel a pang of guilt right now because actually perhaps we know that we fall short? Perhaps you missed that last Bible study that you were hoping to complete, or you didn't get up at 5 a.m. this morning to intercede for those that you know who are ill and lonely right now, the lost, the last, the ones that are in need, the people who are mourning the lives of their families from the deaths in Tunisia. The church isn't more holy if you've got longer church services or if we spend more hours flat on our face in prayer. The church is holy because it's God's. God is holy, and so therefore the church is too, because it's God's church. It's just through these things that Christ gives us the grace that we might continually become more like him. And as such, we can grow in holiness too with the help of Christ and his church. His holy church, God's holy church. The one holy Catholic church. Now, we're not talking, just to clear this up, about the Roman Catholic Church here. I'm sure I always used to think that as a kid. When we say this phrase in the creeds, we're talking about Catholic as in kind of universal, worldwide, including people from every nation, every ethnic and social group. Thinking about what that might mean for us here in Reigate, the rich, the poor, people who live in mansions or in council estates, the loud, the quiet, the young, the old, the message of Christ is for all. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that the message of Christ that we hear is for everybody? That slightly annoying neighbour, that person at work that you don't really get on with, it's for all of us. If we believe in the Catholic Universal Church, it's for everybody. Is that a church we believe in? And is that a church that you want to be a part of? And what about this last word, apostolic? I practice saying that a lot. Apostolic. The church being apostolic, meaning that the church is built on the teaching of the apostles, on the absolute, absolute authority of the scriptures. In other words, it continues steadfastly in the faith and the teaching of those first apostles, and it gladly accepts the great commission entrusted to them. The faith and the tasks that the apostles have becomes ours. In Jude 3, it says, "The faith that was once for all entrusted to all the saints," the communion of the saints, "that has now been entrusted to us for a time before we pass it on to those who will follow. We and all other Christians are stewards of the same gospel once entrusted to the apostles." Now, you might be wondering why I've essentially just given you four definitions of some words here. Well, to me, this helps me think and reminds me of the scale of God and his church. It helps to give me perspective. Whether I'm enjoying church or not, whether I want to go out on a Sunday night or not, there's something bigger to be a part of here. Something one holy worldwide something bigger to be a part of. I hate to say it, but it's not about us. So let's not forget the bigger picture. God's holy, worldwide, apostolic, huge, marvellous, amazing, beautiful church. It's his. That perspective, it's not about us. Let's zoom out and see what God sees. It's huge, absolutely huge. I was leading some worship with the little children in their kids' groups this morning, and one of the little boys, Ben, was suddenly talking about how massive a huge blue whale is. Don't know why, he must have just been learning about blue whales. But he was like, Ali, do you know how big a blue whale was? And I said, well, Ben, I'm not sure I do, but if the blue whale is huge, how much bigger is God? And we tried to all stretch our arms all around the room, all together. There was about 50 of them. And I was like, how big is that? But God is huge. And Jared McKenna in church last Sunday morning, he said something about what an amazing chapel that we worship in. Joining in the worship of the saints of old, hundreds of years of worship and the Spirit moving in that place. Wow. I don't know about you, but sometimes we walk in that building over there and there's something of the awesomeness that the prayers and the praises and the intercessions of people for hundreds and hundreds of years are just soaking up in the walls. And that's our prayer for this place too. Let's ask him to move so that the walls cry out his praises when we're not here. It's just so big, isn't it? So big, that perspective. Do you suddenly feel really small? It might make you feel filled with awe and wonder at his majesty. Or it might put you off a bit. It's a bit scary. The world is too big. Go and make disciples. How are we supposed to do that? That's too big a challenge. How on earth is tiny little me supposed to be a part of that? But that's the huge, great, big God. Huge, great, big God loves tiny little me and tiny little you and tiny little us. We matter. We matter to him. God loves us so much. Psalm 139, and he knows us. He knows everything about us before we're even created. He loves us. I couldn't help but think about one of the songs that I've been teaching the kids lately. He knows me, he loves me, so fill me and send me. This is the amazing thing. So that huge, great, big God, how can we get on board with that? But God calls us into partnership with him. I don't know about you, but when you first started going to IKEA about a decade ago, and they didn't call them colleagues or staff, they called them co-workers. But God calls us to be his co-workers. We're called, Ecclesia, the people of the church felt called. And you might be thinking, but what have I got? What does God want from me? I haven't got anything. But he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That's why God sent his Spirit to equip us. Pentecost, the birth of the church, when the Spirit came and he gave us gifts. Those are the gifts that are in us that we need to be the body of Christ, to be the church of God. This is where we hit our reading from earlier. So the church, let's just go back to this 1 Corinthians 12 passage. The church is a body, and the body is made up of different parts. So just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body form one body, so it is with Christ. We all have a job to do within the body of Christ, a part to play. I wonder what yours is. Do we know what part God has called us to? This is where that kind of community thing from my first point comes in. That better together stuff helps us. Because if we're not sure, it's a really great way of having people that can gently show us where God can use us, perhaps. Can encourage us, can pray for us to be given all these gifts. Can help us to see our part in God's huge, holy, amazing church. One of the things that is spoken about in this passage is the importance of every part, even the little, not so pretty and appealing ones. We can get tempted, can't we, to want the big, important jobs, or to think that actually our little thing doesn't really make that much difference. You know, it doesn't really matter if I don't turn up to serve the coffee tonight because, well, you know, he'll notice that. Or it doesn't really matter if I don't tell that person about Jesus. It's just me. That's just me. But God makes it really clear to us that his church needs many parts, all the parts, all the parts of the body, all the parts of the church. God needs us. Well, God doesn't need us, but he invites us to be part of his church. I tell you what though, luckily, God doesn't want 400 coffee makers or 400 welcomers or even 400 musicians. I might love it, but I'm not sure. Or 400 preachers. He's called us to be the church, all and every part of it. That's not even just the church of St. Mary's. Are we doing our bit in St. Mary's? Remember the bigger picture. Those who are going away on mission, those who are serving Christ all over the world, remember we're part of something bigger. That might sound a bit daunting, but it doesn't need to. God gives us everything we need. He equips us with the different gifts so we can play our different role. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, their teachers, their miracles, their gifts of healing and helping and guidance. I'm sure in one version I read it said administration, very much needed. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Do you desire gifts? Give you a gift that you church. It's a good thing, isn't it, that there are all these different jobs, because we're all different. God made us unique. He's so clever. And he's given you and them, all of us, a job to do. He wants all of us to do our part. At the beginning, I asked you, why are you here? What do you get from church? I really hope that you feel encouraged when you meet with others as church. I really hope that you feel encouraged. But I also hope that part of the reason that we're here is to bow down before our holy, holy God and worship him. And what do you get, I asked. Well, what about what can we bring? What are you excited to be a part of? How can you get involved in this amazing thing called the church? What gift has the Holy Spirit given you? God knows you, he loves you, he fills us and he sends us together as the church to make disciples. What's your part? When we say that we believe in the church, we need to stand up and be counted as part of that body. Belief shouldn't be passive, but active. So what is our part?